Lord, I ask your blessing on this time. Please speak to my heart. Please speak to each one of our hearts here. God, I pray that anything that I say that is of you, we would remember and apply, and whatever is just of me and definitely not of you, we would forget forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So my wife's cousin is Timothy Dalrymple. I don't know if you know that name. When he was a young man, he worked his whole life towards becoming a gymnast. And if you know anything about the Olympic gymnasts, it is their whole life. It is everything that they do. They work and they toil and they train and they practice and they sacrifice and they spend all their lives getting to that moment where they end up on the Olympic team and get to go. And Tim Dalrymple was amazing. He was just a phenomenal gymnast, super strong. He had the right, stature and body build and shape and all that to be an Olympic gymnast. And he had worked and worked and worked. He put everything in his life into this. And on top of all this, he was giving glory to God through it all because he was following Jesus Christ as he was training, and he believed that the Lord had called him into this. And so not only was it his personal, physical, earthly passion to do this, but he believed that he was honoring the Lord and walking in the path that God had laid out before him. And he was practicing for some Olympic trials where he was going to be in line to get onto the Olympic team when he came off, I forget what it's called, there's the lower bar and then the higher bar, and he came off the high bar, and when he came down, he broke his back. And in an instant, everything that he had worked for was gone. He had toiled, he had labored his whole life up until that point. And this was the kind of injury that a gymnast does not come back from and continue to be a gymnast. It was a blessing that he was able to recover the ability to walk and to move. And I believe he had some spinal fusions and things like that to be able to heal what had occurred. And so in that instant, everything that he thought God was doing in his life and the path that was laid out in front of him was wiped away, gone. He went through a period of depression, went through all of those questions. Why? What's the point of this? Why did I experience this? I don't understand it. You know, last week we talked about some amazing stories of healing, right? Jesus was on his way to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And on the way, he healed the woman with the issue of blood. And it seems like Jesus is just going around and taking care of everything. Boom, 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 right? If you think about it, though, that woman with the issue of blood was unwell for 12 years. Do you think she didn't pray during that time and ask God to heal her? And where maybe she thought God's answer was no, it's really not yet. Jesus is coming. And in Timothy Dalrymple's life, this was a major course-altering, life-altering incident that occurred. And he got angry at God. He went through all the stages of grief, all this stuff. And the way he tells his testimony and his story is that God paints a tapestry. And his life is one small part of the tapestry. And what he thought was evil in his life, God has turned around and used for amazing good. So through this injury, he ended up going on and becoming a relatively highly educated theologian, and now he is the president and CEO of Christianity Today. And it's amazing how God brought him through this whole path and wove this tapestry of his life together. You know, we may have things in our lives where we say, what was the point of that, God? That seems like you just ditched me. You abandoned me. You didn't answer my prayer. It didn't happen the way that I thought it should, or even that I thought it should based on what your word says. Yet God is still working. He's still moving. And it's unexpected grace when we are given the opportunity to understand the whys this side of glory, I think. There's lots of things that we're never going to understand the whys of, but do we trust God that He's got it and that He is painting this tapestry and He's putting it all together and that it fits, but we don't see it? Are we able to trust Him in that? Or do we have to be in control and on the throne and understand it all before we will trust God? So God is in the midst of our story, even when it doesn't go the way we hope it will, or the way that we are praying that it will. Think about those times that we pray for healing for someone, and they're still sick. How about when we pray for someone for a long time, and they don't survive? For a long time, we prayed for a young man down in Brattleboro, a little feller, who had cancer. A lot of people were praying for him. He died. People came to faith in Christ through his story, but that little boy still physically died. He's with Jesus now, which is a wonderful thing. Sometimes we got to look at the big picture. Christ came to redeem everything, right? New heaven, new earth is on its way. The new creation is coming when Christ returns in glory. I've run into a few different ways of how folks kind of believe about prayer and whatnot. And, these are just some generalizations, so bear with me. But you know, there's a group of Christians out there who kind of believe that we are to pray for God's will. We're not to ask anything in particular of God or get specific in our prayer, but to pray for God's will. So if someone is in need of healing, we pray for God's will for them. But not necessarily for healing. If God heals them, it was His will. If not, not. Then there's a group that believes if we only have enough faith, God will do anything that we ask. And that if it didn't happen, it's because we failed. And that our faith was weak. And it wasn't sufficient to trigger God's power to heal somebody. Or to do whatever it was that we were asking. You know, it is clear from the gospel lesson today that there is an element of our faith that is absolutely key in the release of God's power. Did you see in the gospel where it said he couldn't do any deeds of power there except to heal a few sick people, which to me is quite a deed of power. But, you know, what else did Jesus really want to do there if that doesn't qualify as the deed of power, right? You know? And then there's another way of thinking about it where people believe God can do something, but they don't necessarily believe that He will. Okay? And folks that talk to me that kind of think along those lines say, well, God is sovereign. I know He can do it, but I don't have the faith that He will. You know, so a few points that I'd like to kind of leave with us today on this. When we pray, we pray believing for the Lord's will in our lives, right? Isn't His will better than perhaps our will? How often do we pray and try to conform God to our will instead of praying and asking God by His Spirit to conform our will to His? So what is the Lord's will? Well, you can see that in Scripture. There's lots of places where you can see the nature of God and what His will is. You know, some scriptures that can help us understand. How about this one? Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? Is there something in your life that is killing, stealing, and destroying? Or is there something that's bringing life and abundance in life? You can kind of judge something by its fruit that way in our lives. The Lord's will is for us to have abundant life. Okay? God is a God of life. He is about resurrection. He's about restoration. Resurrection from the dead. restoration of what was lost in the fall and then the subsequent ages. Scripture tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So it's important that we pray believing for the Lord's will in our lives. And maybe we pray that God would conform our will to His instead of us trying to conform God to our will. Second thing, it's really important that we pray believing in faith that God will answer. No? Scripture says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Okay? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How do we know God's will? By knowing the Scriptures, by walking with God, by worshiping, by knowing the Lord. We will have a much better idea of what His will is than if we just do our own thing and throw requests at the throne of God. Prayer is obedience. God tells us to pray. It's also aligning our wills to His. There's that scripture that people like to badly quote, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. And they stop there. But then the rest of it is for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So God will use anything in our lives. He can redeem anything for His glory. We may not always understand it. You know, Tim Dalrymple, after he broke his back, questioned God up one side and down the other. Didn't understand it. Got mad at God. Rebelled against God for a little while. Had a what I would call natural human reaction of depression and disappointment in what happened. And asked all the hard questions, right? He has been given the blessing and the grace of now being able to look at the path behind him and realize a little bit of what God was doing. Pretty amazing how God turned that one around. There's another story in Scripture where a man's son is demon-possessed. And the demon would throw the son on the ground and would violently shake him, and he would foam at the mouth and all this stuff. And the father and Jesus have an interaction where the man says to Jesus, "If you are willing, my son will be healed. He'll be delivered of this." And the interaction continues and goes on. And, you know, Jesus is going to go and do something for this boy. But the man says, Jesus kind of challenges him on his faith. And the man says to him, "God, I believe. Help my unbelief." Do you ever find yourself in that way? It's kind of almost like a little contradiction. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, do you believe or do you not believe? It's acknowledging that the Lord calls us to faith, calls us to believe, but then at the same time, we're asking God for help. You know, there's a lot of reasons to doubt. There's a lot of things around that cast doubt, that cause us to have these seeds of doubt, these clouds and these shadows in our mind. God, I believe, help my unbelief. The cry of a father wanting healing for his son. And what does Jesus do? Delivers him. So we pray believing for the Lord's will in our lives. We pray believing in faith that God will answer. And then three, it's important that we release that prayer to God's wisdom, right? And to His will. It's important that we don't have a death grip on what we want God to do for us or for someone else in our lives. We have to trust God. He is a good Father. And so we look at God's will and we receive His answer, even if it's a little different from our wills, right? I mean, I've prayed for things that were my will and it didn't happen. And now I can kind of look back at it and go, man, Lord, I really prayed that I would marry this girl that I was dating before I met my wife. Good thing that didn't happen. You know? God had a different plan. I didn't understand it when she dumped me. I thought we were good, but God had a different plan and brought Kristen into my life and now these four beautiful children. There's a beautiful example of some people that were facing certain death, and yet released even their certain death to the will of God. How many of you remember the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Right? Right? Fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, he's a bad dude, wanted everybody to fall down and worship, and these three guys were following the living God, and they wouldn't do it. And here's their response, okay? This is right after Nebuchadnezzar throws down the gauntlet and says, if you don't do this, you're going in the furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. So here are three guys that are facing a fiery death. They're having faith that God is going to deliver them, but they're also entrusting their future to the wisdom and the will of Almighty God. It doesn't shatter their faith in God or change it. They're saying, if God lets us burn up in that furnace, we're still going to be obedient to Him. That's guts. And more than guts, that's faith. That's knowing God. That's knowing His nature. That's walking with Him. That is being close enough to Him to have a good idea of the Lord's will and the Lord's way to bring life and not death. In the epistle lesson today, Paul kind of battles with this, right? I want to remind us of that scripture briefly here. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So here's Paul, right? Damascus Road conversion, deeds of power, awesomeness, lots of wonderful things happening. He asked God three times to take care of something in his life. But the Lord saw greater glory in leaving it with him. Think Paul liked it? Probably not. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's reaction, he doesn't rail against the gates of heaven. You know, he doesn't beat the throne room. He says, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. It's faith. It's trusting God. Even when what he prayed for and asked for wasn't clearly what God's will was in his life. So our stories, as we consider them, how God has been leading us up until now, our stories aren't always obvious triumphs like healings every other day and resurrections from the dead all the time that we can see, like the woman with the issue of blood and the daughter that was raised from the dead or the son that was delivered of demons, right? Those things do happen, and they are real, and God's power works in that way, for sure. I've seen it. So have you. But what about those times where our stories are marked by faith in God despite our circumstances? Despite this sort of seeming silence from heaven, God is not ever silent like that. He is always speaking. He's always telling us. He's always leading us and loving us. He may not always be saying what we want to hear or what we think he should say. And so often we believe so strongly in our own will that we believe our own will must be God's will as well. And it's in that moment that we need to pray and ask the Lord that our will would be conformed to His will. And we pray in faith, believing that God will do it. But then we release our will and our desire to Him as He sees best to answer. And we respond to Him in His grace with thankfulness, whatever that outcome is. Paul gives us that model. Therefore, I rejoice, whatever comes. At the end of the day, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to you in this life, your name is written in the Lamb's book. Christ, rising from the dead, broke the power of death. We will be with Him forever. Everything is going to be restored that has been taken. That's quite a hope. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, went on to die. Right? But I believe we're going to see him someday and say, wow, what was that like? So the Lord works things together in beautiful ways that we would never imagine. Timothy Dalrymple's expression of tapestries. You can only see one little part of it at a time, but it's part of a larger whole that is beautiful in God's eyes, and that is in His plan. He is sovereign over all time. He's not on the throne just part of the time. He's always there. He is always in charge. And we can trust Him with our story in this life and in the next. In the name of Christ, amen.